Talk about what Joel Rankin or Joel Pankow says out of Bay City, Michigan here. Let's first read Psalm 22, verses 4 through 8. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. This pastor believes that Jesus became the embodiment of the worm mentioned in that psalm, and he didn't pick that position because he deserved it. There's a general rule in life that people get what they deserve. Or as the Apostle Paul put it, a man reaps what he sows. This used to be true when it came to respect. There used to be a time here in the United States that sinful people reaped disrespect in society. But things have changed today, haven't they? The respected are now the disrespected, and vice versa. If you look at today's view of the elderly, the police, government, they don't have the respect they once had. As Christians, we realize there are certain people on earth that deserve respect just because of the position they hold. God commands us in the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. So there we go. Whether you think they deserve it or not, God says to give them honor and respect just because of their position. That's why we do try to respect our parents, the elderly, the police, and others in authority as well. And that's pretty hard, isn't it? Because there's probably some conservatives and some liberals here in this room, and you know you're not that keen on the leaders of the side you don't believe in. But God commands us to show them respect as well. God, of course, deserves our greatest respect. The first commandment states we should fear, love, and trust God above all things. God deserves our respect no matter what. He does just because of who he is. Well, there were occasions when Jesus, the Son of God, was treated like he deserved. For instance, when Jesus gave the disciples a miraculous catch of fish, Peter fell on his knees and said to him, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on the Sunday before crucifixion, the children sang, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And there's our connection back to David in the Psalms. And when Thomas saw Jesus after the resurrection, he called Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus never told them, "Don't bow before me," or "Don't call me Lord or God." Why not? Because he deserved the kind of treatment because he was God. But many Jews didn't want to treat Jesus that way because he didn't do the miracles they wanted. Isaiah, in chapter 9, verse 7, predicted, "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." So those Jews in that era expected Jesus to take over from the Romans and rule an earthly kingdom here on earth. They wanted their Messiah to give them earthly prestige and wealth. So even though Jesus was God, he wasn't their God. The God that they were expecting, he didn't give the Jews what they wanted from him. Jesus wasn't about to give those Jews what they wanted. When they turned on his father's house and turned it into a marketplace, Jesus didn't sweet talk them. He overturned their tables. He said it the way it was. But instead of giving them respect for telling the truth, like the father did, the spiritual leaders despised Jesus for it. Why did Jesus do this? He did not choose to become the worm from the psalm because he felt he deserved it, because he's sinless. This is an important lesson for us to remember. Don't get the idea that Jesus deserved to take on the role of the worm. He wasn't reaping what he had sown, and he wasn't punishing himself over something he did. He is God, and God deserves only praise. He picked the worm position because he knew he would be treated like it. When Jesus called the Pharisees and spiritual leaders a bunch of blind guides, sons of Satan, hypocrites, he knew that they would be scorning him and despising him for that, just like a worm. Matthew 26 is an example. When Jesus was on trial before the high priest said to him, "I charge you, under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes," It is as you say, Jesus answered. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy yourselves. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists and said, Prophesy to us, Christ. Who struck you? What did Jesus do in this instance? Did he do any wrong? Nope, nothing. He spoke the truth to them, but they didn't want to hear the truth, and they treated him like a worm, stepping on him, crushing him, not caring whether he lived or died. And then they proceeded to take him to Golgotha and crucify him like a criminal. Doesn't it amaze you that Jesus knew this would happen when he became a man? He even predicted it himself. What amazes me is that Jesus not only knew this would happen to him, but he allowed it to happen to him. He knew what was going to happen, yet not only did he go through with it, he allowed it to happen despite Jesus having all the power in the world. He could have gotten down any moment off that cross, crushed all his enemies like grapes, picked on the oppressors, turned the tables on the oppressors for treating him like that worm. They were jeering him to do that. Get off that cross if you're the Messiah. So why would Jesus allow himself to be treated like the worm? Why did he do it? Of course, out of love for us. Jesus became the worm and allowed God to punish him on the cross instead of us. You know, if you could become any animal in the world, what would that be? You know, I think a lot of us are going to pick a lion. Maybe a cobra, you know. Got power, got poison. People are feared of you. Afeared of you. That sounds like the Beverly Hillbillies there, doesn't it? Cipher for us, Jethro. Not plus not is not. We're all of the age that grew up watching that show. It was a cultural phenomenon in 1962. Still holds some records for most watched TV episodes. Even though the Super Bowls have taken over much of the list, they're still on it. Oh, Jesus did it out of love. We would like to be an animal. We certainly wouldn't choose a worm. Maybe we'd all like to be eagles. No, indeed, don't think any of us would choose being a worm. But because Jesus became a worm, we can now live forever through faith in Jesus. And speaking of worms, and the first three kings of Israel, we toss back to some of the Islamic viewpoints of these first three kings. Kind of interesting stuff. I talked about how they think Jesus was God's most perfect creation and had these incredible powers. They admit he could do miracles. Why can't they just see then, if you have the power of God, you are the Son of God? But in their viewpoints of Saul and David and Solomon, they have some interesting theories there as well. Solomon, they say, was able to hear animals talk. Leading an assault, he overheard the ants making preparations to hide from him. And they also believe then when Solomon was a very old man, he was overseeing some slaves working and died at his staff. And the slaves didn't know he was dead, so they kept on slaving away. Until a worm was called up out of the ground to gnaw away at his cane, and his body finally fell over and the slaves could take off. Interesting things. Interesting things these other faiths have. We know we Christians have the truth. Hopefully we Lutherans have the truthiest of the truth, as I like to believe. And I have investigated most of the faiths in the world. You know, what young Lutheran guy doesn't become almost an adult and wonder, you know, is this stuff true? Or is this like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? You get out and you investigate. That was the next part of my faith journey, looking at all these different other faiths. Versus no faith either, you know. Theists or atheists. My personal study told me that God was real. And through Jesus is the only way. Hopefully, these other faiths follow suit as well. So what do we think? Was that 20 minutes? Was it 45 like Pastor? All right. Good deal there then. Thanks for allowing me to get up here and share ideas of faith. You will probably each all have a different faith journey to the end we're at here right now. And you know, next time Pastor's on vacation, you guys should step up and share that story with me as well. Hopefully you found my tortuous path towards faith in the Lord semi-interesting. I would really love to hear yours. And so now on that note too, speaking of John McAllister, before I give the stage back to our liturgist, Ken, you remember in our bulletins before COVID, John was doing those biographies of members of the congregation. And since he's, what, 93 now, but still probably able to arm wrestle all the rest of us, you know, he wants to get those things going again. He wants those bios to come back. And so when Pastor comes back, we're going to start putting those into the bulletin again. He wants me to write one up on me first. So, hey, you get to hear about me again. But then, for those of you in here who haven't been covered yet, can you feed some information to me? Send me an email, give me a little bit of a bio. We're here in worship afterwards. I'll jot down and use my TV reporter skills to come up with you a little story, a little blurb to put into our bulletin, and you can share your faith story that way if you don't want to get up here and talk about it like a guest pastor. And so on that note, our beloved real pastor should be back with us next week, and he should be able to preach with the true authority of a called and ordained minister of the God, the one and true only God, rather than me, a poser who falls back on the Jewish tradition of quoting others because I know I don't have the authority to make bold statements myself. On that note, we'll hand her back over to Kathy.